Hello everybody and welcome to the recording for Carey Baptist Church this Sunday. Obviously I'm not Stuart, this is Jodie speaking. Stuart is here but he's still recovering from a bout of COVID that he had while we were in Edinburgh. Now me taking the service was planned before we went away because it's a parade service and this week we are focusing on the beginning of Christian Aid Week. So all our prayers and videos and the talk are all focused on the theme of climate justice. So let's open our worship with a prayer. Lord, here we are, your people, gathered to tune our hearts to you, gathered to listen for your voice, gathered to seek your face. Lord, here we are, reveal your presence to us. Teach and guide us through the songs, prayers, Bible readings, and spoken word. Lord, here we are. Amen.
Amen.
Our reading for the service is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, which can be found in Luke chapter 16, and it's verses 19 to 31. There was once a rich man who dressed in the most expensive clothes and lived in great luxury every day. There was also a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who used to be brought to the rich man's door, hoping to eat the bits of food that fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the feast in heaven. The rich man died and was buried, and in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus at his side. So he called out, "Father Abraham, take pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in some cool water to cool my tongue, because I'm in great pain in this fire." But Abraham said, "Remember, my son, that in your lifetime you were given all good things, while Lazarus got all the bad things. Now he is enjoying himself here while you are in pain. Besides all that, there's a deep pit lying between us, so that those who want to cross over from here to you cannot do so, nor can anyone cross from us to where you are." The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him go and warn them, so that they, at least, will not come to this place of pain." Abraham said, "Your brothers have Moses and the prophets to warn them. Your brothers should listen to what they say." The rich man answered, "That is not enough, Father Abraham. But if someone were to rise from death and go to them, they would turn from their sins." But Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone were to rise from death." Now, this morning's message is not a full-blown sermon. It's a talk that I will be delivering at the parade service with the girls and boys brigades present. So it will only be about a five-minute talk. And this is what I have prepared. So this Bible reading is what we call a parable. A parable is a story told by Jesus to teach things to his listeners. In these stories, we find that Jesus doesn't clearly explain things and give factual information, but rather he tells us a mysterious and puzzling story, something which contains the truth of God's kingdom, but rather than revealing the truth, it hides it, like a kind of spiritual Where's Wally? We have to search for it. Where's the truth? Well, we can help ourselves by looking for clues. First, we looked for what prompted Jesus to tell the parable. In this case, just before the story starts, Jesus is responding to the Pharisees, calling them lovers of money, and saying to them, "God knows your hearts. The things that you think are of great value are worth nothing in God's sight." So this gives us a starting clue as to what the parable is about. It also gives us a clue as to what it's not about. is not about the nature of the afterlife, what hell or heaven are like, who goes where and why, what is this burning fire and the torment and the chasm between the two of them, etc. These things are, yes, part of the story's backdrop, but they're designed to shock the listeners, to prompt them towards searching for the truth. They are not the truth themselves. So let's not get diverted by what the story isn't about. A second clue comes from something else that we should know about Jesus's parables. They often demonstrate the great reversal that God's kingdom brings about. The last shall be first, the least will become the greatest, etc. So here we see, at the end of the story, Lazarus, the poor man, in the embrace of Abraham, enjoying a feast and banquet in heaven. He has every comfort and blessing that he needs, while the rich man is desperately in need and terrible anguish, and he can't even get a drop of water for his hot tongue. It's a reversal of the way things were when the story started. In his rich life, the man had every world comfort he could wish for, while Lazarus couldn't even get a cup of water or a crust of bread or a warm blanket to ease his discomfort. This gives us another clue to the heart of this parable and to where its truth lies hidden. Now, the story doesn't say anything about Lazarus as a person, whether he was good or bad, just that he was poor. And equally, it doesn't say anything about the rich man, other than he was rich. It doesn't even really say that there was anything wrong with him being rich. So what is the issue? I find it interesting that the rich man knows Lazarus's name. To me, this implies that he was not unaware of this poor man sitting in need at his gate. He recognizes him. He even knows his name. I think here that we are coming close to the truth that is at the heart of this story. Where did the rich man go wrong? What was his behavior towards a poor man whose name he knew, who sat by his gate in need? It was indifference. He ignored the suffering of another human being. He didn't love his neighbor. He showed no compassion. He stepped over him, literally, probably without a second glance, and probably didn't even bother to chase away the dogs that were licking Lazarus's sores. Jesus didn't tell this story so that we could learn about the afterlife or how to avoid hell and get into heaven. Jesus told this story so that we could learn how to live in the here and now. It's about salvation, but salvation isn't about avoiding hell. It's about living redemptively now. And at the heart of the matter, where the truth of this parable lies hidden, is in the indifference that the rich man showed towards Lazarus. For this Christian Aid week, I would like to multiply up the scale of this parable and say that for rich man, read rich nations. For Lazarus, read poor nations. And surely if something applies to one person, it must apply in scale to a group or nation of people. So this parable speaks to us as a nation, a rich nation, about our indifference to poorer nations, to the plight they face because of many things. But today, Christian Aid has asked us particularly to think about the plight they face because of climate change. As a nation, are our leaders and the deals they make indifferent to the plight of those who are the most affected by climate change and who have done the least to cause the climate change and who also happen to be the least able to deal with the effects because they are the poorest nations? The parable tells us that if we are to truly remain citizens of God's kingdom, we can't afford to be indifferent to the plight of those who are poorer. What the parable doesn't do is give us a prescription for what we should do about it. We need to wrestle with how things are, examine our behaviour, act in ways which are not indifferent to the needs of the poor, and lobby those who have the power to make a difference. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have a prayer of confession. Let's pray. Good God of creation, we sing praise to you, but even as we raise our voices, we know we have faltered and failed, walking on paths that turned our hearts inward, sitting with those who scoffed at the cries of people in poverty, mocking those on the margins, denying the earth in her distress. Too often we indulge the excesses that crucify all of creation, the systems that impoverish all people, the privileges that diminish our faith. But even now it is not too late, for in the face of judgment comes the offer of grace and the hope that creation can spring to life. Where we have failed to share your abundance for the earth, God have mercy. When our actions and intentions have been inadequate at best, God have mercy. Forgive us, restore us, inspire us now to delight in your purposes, to embrace your possibilities, and to inhabit your promises for the world you so love, and to bring healing for all the nations. Amen. Amen. As part of the parade service, we will be watching videos made by Christian Aid, especially for this climate change theme. And if you are interested in finding them, you can just search online and find Christian Aid's website, and the videos will be there. We'll also be encouraging people to sign a petition, which lobbies our leaders, particularly our Prime Minister, to make sure that a fund is set up to help poorer countries who can't afford to deal with the problems of climate change, but who are most affected by climate change. Also, if you wanted to sign that petition, you'll be able to find it on the Christian Aid website. So now we're going to come to some intercessory prayers. And this morning, we're going to hold people and situations before God and ask for his justice, love and peace. And wherever you are, I would invite you to join in by holding your hands as if you're offering to God. And to think and use your own words and pictures inside your mind as we pray. There is a response that we will share together. So when I say, we hold them before you, Lord, the response is, bring your justice, love and peace. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love, and peace. Think of people around the world who are dealing with the problems of climate change, but they cannot afford to do anything about it. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love and peace. Think about the leaders of rich countries and for the decisions they make related to climate justice. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love and peace. We think of those who work for Christian Aid, those who will be collecting door to door and at events this week across the country and here in Moulton. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love and peace. We also think of those affected by the cost of living crisis around the world, as well as right here in the UK and in our own communities. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love and peace. Think of those affected by the war in Ukraine. We hold them before you, Lord. bring your justice, love, and peace. Think of those that we know and love who are facing difficult times. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love, and peace. And finally, we think of our own difficult situations. We hold them before you, Lord. Bring your justice, love, and peace. Amen. And we will close with a blessing. As we prepare to leave and embrace the challenges of our world and our lives, let us ask for God's blessing. May God bless us with strength to seek justice. May God bless us with wisdom to care for our earth. May God bless us with love to bring forth new life. In the name of God, the Maker of the whole world, of Jesus, our Redeemer, and of the Holy Spirit who opens eyes and hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us this Sunday. Hopefully Stuart will be back fit as a fiddle next Sunday and able to bring the service to you.